Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the South Bay Show, Manhattan Beach 360, on September 22nd, 2017. Live, love, laugh, and leave a legacy. That's what we do here in the South Bay of Los Angeles, and it's a beautiful place to do just that.
The South Bay Show is brought to you by the Manhattan Beach Chamber of Commerce. The Manhattan Beach Chamber of Commerce has been serving the city of Manhattan Beach for over 60 years, and they are dedicated to promoting a strong local economy by supporting the community, providing valuable business connections, and representing business with government. The Chamber staff is focused on providing its membership with the tools and resources to help businesses grow and thrive within the community. Their goal is to continually support the individual efforts of business as they work to support the growth of the local economy. For more information on how the Manhattan Beach Chamber of Commerce is working with member businesses and the City of Manhattan Beach to support that growth, visit the website at manhattanbeachchamber.com or call 310-545-5313.
I'm your host, Joe Terry, and you can read all about our many adventures on Facebook at facebook.com/The South Bay Show. Persistence, passion, principle, and purpose, that's what we talk about here on The South Bay Show. And, of course, with us, because of our great partnership with South Bay by Jackie.com and executive producer of The South Bay Show, Jackie Balestra. Hey, Jackie, how are you doing today?
I'm doing well this morning, Joe. How are you?
Good. Enjoying the the weather has been so weird, but it was a good day today or yesterday.
It's very fall like, isn't it? Yesterday was very.
Yeah.
It was very autumnish, autumnal, autumnal. I don't even know the word we would use to describe it.
Yes, autumnal.
But, yeah,
autumnal.
You said we had a little. Autumnal. A little bit of precipitation in the morning, and then it was breezy, and there were white caps out on the ocean, and it was very fallish. I pulled out a sweater to wear yesterday. I had to go out. I went over to Hawthorne. Our friend Gloria Placentia, who is the arts commissioner for the city of Hawthorne. They were having a mural unveiling and dedication yesterday at Ramona Park, and at 4 o'clock. So I went over there to check it out, and this artist Velvet Marshall did it. Like, I think it's like 30 feet long. It's on the side of a building. She painted a mural, and they dedicated it yesterday, and it's beautiful, and a whole bunch of people came out to support, so that was fun. That was a lot of fun. And then right after that, have you been to the Great Room yet on our team?
No.
Yeah, it's fairly new. What a great facility. Yesterday, first time I went there, it was Arnett Travis's birthday. I don't know if you know Arnett. But it was her birthday. Yeah, and Mickey Marafino sent out an invitation, you know, a Facebook event page and they had a little big gathering. A lot of people showed up last night. And anyway, it's like a cafe. It's a cafe in the front, you know, they've got a counter where you can order food and they have beer and wine. And tables and chairs and some sofas and stuff. You can hang out. And then you go towards the back, and there is a great room. I guess that's hence the name. And there's another room with lounge chairs and coffee tables and stuff. And past that, there's a hallway, and on either side of the hallway, on one side is a kid's romper room for, like, toddlers. And then on the other side is for older kids with, like, video and arcade games. And they're both big rooms, and they're closed off, but it's all glass. So as you walk by, you can see everything. Then go further, and there's another room in the back that you can, you know, rent out for a private party or an event or something. And last night, the Redondo Kindness Rocks Project was doing their rock painting event in there. I don't know if you've heard about that. Have you heard about Kindness Rocks?
No, not yet.
Oh, no, this is nationwide, maybe around the world. I'm not sure, but I know it's all around the country. It's called Kindness Rocks, hashtag Kindness Rocks. And anybody can start up their own group, and there's a Redondo Rocks Facebook page. And basically what it is, you get together. I guess the people that organize it bring in the rocks and the paint and all the supplies.
Yeah.
And you paint these rocks. It could just be a picture of, like, you know, a smiley face, or you could put a phrase on there, or you can make it a ladybug or something. And so you paint these rocks, and then they put them out all over the community for people to find.
Right. And you write affirmations on them, like, you are so kind, or
yeah,
you are beautiful.
Yeah, you could do that, or as I said, you could just paint something pretty. A sunshine or a smile, or, you know, it's all positive stuff. And then, as I said, they scatter them all over the neighborhood.
I see. Wow. That's interesting.
So it was quite a party at the Great Room last night. The place was packed. And Arnett is so involved in the community. Everybody was there. You know, Mayor Aspel was there, and everybody was there.
Beautiful.
Glad. Yeah, it was the Great Room. It is really great. So I'll end on that note.
Well, Jackie, there have been so many recent disasters around the world. I mean, we start with the hurricanes in the Caribbean and the tremendous first, let's not forget Harvey coming up in the Gulf.
Harvey was a hurricane.
But
Harvey, Irma,
it really, I mean, it
Marie,
did
Jose, Maria and Jose.
Harvey, Irma, Jose, and now Maria, and the devastation that Maria has brought to Puerto Rico is unimaginable. The entire
the whole island,
and without power, a direct hit on land of the eye. Even Irma did not really hit Cuba directly. It kind of skirted off of Cuba. Sideswiped it, but it did not go right over the island. And it's not just that, of course. What was it? A 7, almost an 8-point earthquake in Mexico.
Yeah.
And the devastation there. And then, of course, there was a 3 or a 4 here in Southern California recently. People are thinking in terms of disasters again. It's not just the hurricanes, but earthquakes here in Southern California. Yeah.
Joe, you just skirted by. You said the whole island of Puerto Rico was without power. All right. You know something?
Right.
You say things like, "Oh, the power's out," and you don't think much of it. But let me tell you something. When a whole community, town, country, whatever you, is without power for any amount of time, things get ugly. Things can get really, really ugly. When the lights go out, it's almost like we're thrown back to caveman days.
There was a terrible piece on ABC News last night about a woman in Puerto Rico, all alone. Everyone else had left to take care of their families, to see to loved ones. She was all alone taking care of, I think it was 7 or 8 patients at a nursing home. Total devastation all around. No air conditioning. No power. Well, actually, she had a little power. She had a diesel generator. They had backup systems in place, but she was running out of diesel fuel. And she said, when the diesel fuel runs out, these people are going to die, because they can't run the air conditioning anymore, and I guess there's certain support that some of them need, which requires electricity. And it was just a devastating thing to think this multiplied across the the entire island of Puerto Rico is just, it's just unimaginable.
Well, that's what happened. That's what happened in Florida in that nursing home.
It was
after the fact, you know. I guess I don't know if that place, that particular place, was flooded, but after the fact, there was no electricity, no air conditioning, and I think what, a dozen people died because there was no air conditioning. You know, if you don't live in the South or in the Caribbean and places like that, you have no idea how hot it is. I mean, imagine Arizona, right? In Arizona, you get from your air-conditioned car to your air-conditioned house to your air-conditioned office to the air-conditioned mall. You know, you don't stay out in that heat, but it's compounded in the South with the humidity. And yeah, that same exact scene played out in Florida last week. So anyway, big, big, timely, important topic.
So now we bring it back home. We have... Here in Manhattan Beach, the Manhattan Beach Community Emergency Response Team Association, that both you and I have been through the training, and we're going to talk about how we can prepare for disasters right here in Manhattan Beach, right here in the South Bay, and we have two experts with us that can talk about that. Jackie, who are our guests today?
Our guests this morning are Scott Nyngar and Art Herring from Manhattan Beach CERT. Now, Scott Nyngar is a member of the Manhattan Beach Community Emergency Response Team, a Red Cross certified member of the MB CERT Emergency Medical Response Team, and Red Cross certified CPR, first aid, and AED instructor. Scott also serves as a disaster response coordinator and is a civilian volunteer coordinator for the Manhattan Beach Neighborhood Disaster Response Program, Map Your Neighborhood, under the direction of Manhattan Beach Fire Department Battalion Chief Scott Halfdell. Now, when Scott isn't saving the neighborhood, he works as Director of IT Operations for Northrop Grumman's Space and Defense Sector. He is also the Director of IT Operations for the J. Paul Getty Trust and a TRW Global Network Manager. Now, Art Herring is also a member of the Manhattan Beach Community Emergency Response Team. He sits on the Board of Directors and oversees training and is the Director of the MB CERT Emergency Medical Response Team. Art is an emergency medical technician, Red Cross emergency medical response instructor, Red Cross BLS CPR instructor, and American Heart Association BLS CPR instructor. And we'll learn, I know what CPR is, but I'm not sure what BLS is. So anyway, this morning, we're going to learn about Map Your Neighborhood. We'll also talk about CERT, but we're going to learn about the Map Your Neighborhood program and how it will serve us in the event of an emergency or disaster. Scott, Art, welcome to the program. We're so glad you could join us this morning.
Thank you. It's good to be here.
Thank you, Jackie.
Thank you,
Joe. It's a pleasure to be with you.
Well, it's a pleasure for us to revisit our roots in the Community Emergency Response Team training. Both Jackie and I have been through the training in Manhattan Beach, and it is top-notch training. I went through the training when they switched to the weekend classes, so you could do, I think it was 3 weekends in a row, and it worked out incredibly well for me. So let's start with you, Scott. I mean, you're both a professional in business, and you're working with the Manhattan Beach CERT. Tell us a little bit about why CERT is important to our communities around the country, but here in Manhattan Beach in particular.
Okay, I'll give a minute of background, and then I'll talk about Map Your Neighborhood, but Art can give the overview of CERT in a much better way than I can.
Okay.
Well, I'll tell you what, I'll toss it to Art to talk about CERT and why it's important, and then when we're ready for Map Your Neighborhood, I'll talk about that program.
Okay.
Joe and Jackie and your audience, thank you. The Manhattan Beach CERT organization is an all-volunteer organization under the direction of the Manhattan Beach Fire Department. Really, CERT is designed to be a response organization in an emergency or in a disaster. And secondly, it's a means, we use CERT as a means of training citizens in disaster preparedness and response, you know, knowing what to do in order to help others. In fact, that encapsulates what CERT is all about I think that's what you should focus on.
Now, and I remember, you know, we did a program, an actual podcast, for several years with a great effect, and we had a lot of programs about CERT and about various elements of emergency response. But the key is the professionals are going to be busy. The professionals, fire, police, they're going to be very busy doing what they do, which is saving life and preventing the loss of life. But along the way, there's going to be a need for coordination of the people and maybe a collection of people, triage of people that are really in danger of getting worse or even dying, and then those that just need support, water and food and those kinds of things, and those need support like blankets and so forth in a disaster, housing and so forth. These are things that the community can get together and do, that CERT can get together and organize. And there are various sort of I forget what the term is, but there's like, you know, areas that people are assigned to, and then you'll be assigned to your area group. Can you talk a little bit about how that organization works, Art?
Certainly. The way CERT organizations are put together is that we train people and designate certain areas of the city of Manhattan Beach. We have four areas. Provide those areas with equipment, provide those areas with communication, so that all of those things you just mentioned, Joe, are ones that we can address. It's just indescribable how much chaos can occur. And you're seeing it on television in Mexico right now in a short period of time. So that's the organization that we have. And what we've done is tie that in very closely with what Scott is running, which is an even more neighborhood-oriented organization by the name of, we call it Map Your Neighborhood. And maybe this would be a good time to talk about that a little bit, too. What do you think?
Okay. Hey, Scott?
Yeah. Okay. Well, I'll talk about Map Your Neighborhood a little bit. So it does tie into CERT and those volunteers. So what Map Your Neighborhood is, it's a national program. It was developed in the state of Washington, and it's sponsored in Manhattan Beach by the fire department. Manhattan Beach adopted the program in 2008. And what it is, it's a plan for neighborhoods on a block-by-block basis. An individual block gives them a plan on how to respond in a large area disaster. And like you said, Joe, the fire department, police are going to be stressed in a big event. In Manhattan Beach, there's 9 firefighters on duty at any given time. A city of 36,000 people, they're going to be stretched. And actually, the very first thing they do in a wide area disaster is a thing called a windshield survey. They've got to take time and find out what's going on in the city so they can set priorities. So in the meantime, if individuals or a block have a plan, they can start to help their families and help each other in a neighborhood. It's a simple program. It's very straightforward. And the way we implement it is we get somebody on a block to organize all the neighbors to get together, and then we walk through what the program is. It's got 3 parts. Mm-hmm. One is a map of the neighborhood, and that's where the Map Your Neighborhood comes into place. So everybody on the block has a map of the neighborhood. They know where all the people live, their names, what their capabilities are. You might find out that somebody living next door used to be an EMT or something. They're doing something else now, but that's a good resource for the block. So there's a map that shows gas, water, and electric shutoffs, so neighbors can help each other if they're not home and they have a gas leak. So there's the map. Second part is a contact sheet. So there's a contact sheet, a list of everybody in the neighborhood, and what resources they have and capabilities and what needs they might have, so everybody's familiar with everybody on the block. And the third part are the 9 steps that everybody takes in the event of a disaster. So it gives a family a plan, it gives a neighborhood a plan on how to respond rather than to say, oh my gosh, I don't know, what do we do now in a moment of panic. And the final step is where it connects to CERT in the fire department. The last step in the plan is there's a summary. Whatever is happening on your block, you write down those issues, you take it to one of the 4 locations that Art talked about where CERT is set up, report what's going on in your block, and then they communicate up to the emergency operations center that set up the fire department and police, and it lets them start to set priorities within the city. So that's, in a nutshell, that's what the plan is about.
Now, when people first hear about this concept, they might think of, block captains and other, neighborhood watch. How is this related to things like neighborhood watch?
That's a really good question. This program started out under the police department and neighborhood watch because of that very issue. A block captain is the logical person on a block to organize the block. About a year and a half ago, maybe even 2 years ago, they took a look at that and they said, really, disaster preparedness falls under the fire department. So the Map Your Neighborhood program moved under the fire department because that's their responsibility, disaster preparedness and response. So it's a more logical home for it. But typically, the neighborhood watch block captain is the person that calls the neighborhood together to have the meeting where I go through these 9 steps and teach the people the process. But it doesn't have to be the neighborhood watch block captain. It can be anybody in the block that can just organize the meeting.
Okay. And now, Jackie, you had a meeting at your house. Can you tell us a little bit about that? Because that's really relevant to what we're talking about.
Yeah, it's funny. There are all of these different facets to it. Several years ago, 10, maybe 12 years ago, we had a block captain. We had somebody on our block that organized. We had neighborhood watch. We did Map Your Neighborhood. And then they moved. And over the last few years, we have had massive turnaround on my street. Just this year alone, I think 8 houses sold. All right. So there are all these new people. And a few months ago, the National Night Out event, it's across the country, National Night Out. The local law enforcement organizations started this where I think it generally falls on a Tuesday night. And it's just a night for neighbors to get out and meet their neighbors, just to be social, know the people on your street. And I've been posting this information on my website for years, but on my street, we'd never done anything like that. So at the very last minute, I think it was on a Tuesday, the Thursday before, I said, you know something, I was sitting around waiting for somebody else to organize it, and nobody stepped up. So I just decided I was going to do it. So I made up a little flyer with all the information, basically just saying, hey, this is National Night Out, explaining what it was. And I just on the flyer encouraged the neighbors to be social. I said, come hang out in your front yard, walk the block, I said, I'm going to put out a table with some snacks and beverages. If you want to do that, do that. So one night, Thursday night, I went around from house to house. I dropped off flyers. If somebody answered the door, I explained what was going on. And then that Tuesday night, we had a great turnout. I think about 8 people, 8 different people up and down the street put out some snacks and beverages, and everybody came out and put their chairs on in the front yard, and people walked up and down the street, stopping, chatting, meeting each other, and everybody was thrilled that we did that. Now, listen to this. From that, one of the neighbors, the night before the event, contacted me. He came over and he knocked on my door. He didn't contact me. He knocked on my door. And he introduced himself, and he said, I want to start the Neighborhood Watch program up again. And he said, would you mind if I put contact sheets out tomorrow night for everybody to put their contact information? So I said, that's a great idea. So this guy took it upon himself to do that. And so that night, the national night out, he collected, I think he got everybody on the block. And a couple of days later, he sent out an email to everybody with the contact sheet, and he organized a neighborhood watch meeting. We had it at his house, and again, we had a great turnout. All these people showed up, and so we're forming it now. We're forming it now.
Right. Now,
I mean, you know something, Joe? You know something? Just as simple. It's as simple. It's as basic as just knowing who your neighbors are and what they look like. You know what I mean? I mean, it's as basic as that. You have to know each other, and from there, then you can organize. So.
Now, Art, I know that on a national level, there's organizations like American Red Cross. They have materials that you can actually get access to and have delivered to your home for free. Map your neighborhood, like a DVD, a 90-minute DVD that helps communities get ready for disasters by filling in the gap between CERT and individual preparedness. Does the Manhattan Beach CERT have these materials for people to get access to, like DVDs from the Red Cross and stuff like that?
Oh, we sure do, and we recommend them to people all the time. I'll tell you, the Manhattan Beach CERT, and particularly through its emergency medical response team, is really a very hands-on kind of organization with regard to our citizens and to our businesses. And we have a number of training programs that we regularly make available, and our website, which is mbcerta.org, Manhattan Beach CERT Association.org, just the initials, is a great resource for people to look at our programs. We have every other month we do free, no cost, CPR, Red Cross CPR first aid training. We have individual programs for organizations like various clubs and organizations and even individual businesses that would like to train their members or their staff. It's entitled What You Must Be Able to Do Until the Ambulance Arrives. And it doesn't have to be a disaster. It just has to be an emergency. And how do you recognize when someone's in distress? And what do you do for those 5 or 6 minutes until the ambulance shows up? In many cases, take choking, for instance, take cardiac arrest. It's essential you know those things. So we teach those kinds of skills, and you can do it in 30 minutes, 45 minutes, whatever amount of time an organization would like to play. So we like the Red Cross materials, and we'll bring them to you and show you how to use them and how to recognize distress, much less respond to it.
There's the website, which is MBCERTA, MBCERTA.org, but there's also, are there other ways that people can get in touch, like an email, or is it mostly the website that they should focus on?
We'd be happy to provide an email address to Scott or to me, and we'd be very interested in responding. You go to artherring1@gmail.com and call me up, and I'll be happy to speak with anyone that has some interest in getting trained, getting prepared, being able to respond, basically knowing what to do in an emergency.
Okay. Okay. I see here there are two emails. There's info, I-N-F-O, at mbcerta, mbcerta.org, and training at mbcerta, mbcerta.org. So info and training at mbcerta.org will obviously go somewhere, and somebody will respond.
Joe, let me give you another one.
Scott? Yeah, Scott.
Yeah, let me give you another one. This is Scott. Anybody that's interested in map your neighborhood for a residential block or even businesses can contact me through my email. It's a city email address. It's NINEGAR at citymb.info.
Okay. Now, is that because of your coordination with the Manhattan Beach Fire Department that you have a city email address?
It is.
I see.
Exactly.
Now, let's go into a little bit of the history. We started off with a bang talking about CERTA, Manhattan Beach Community Emergency Response Team Association, and Map Your Neighborhood. But let's take a step back. These programs are in place because when things happen, and of course the the one thing that Southern Californians focus on, because we don't have a lot of flooding, we do have fires, but we don't have a lot of flooding, and we don't hardly ever have hurricanes or severe weather like that, but we do have earthquakes, and that's the thing that most people fear and dread when it comes to a great natural disaster. So Scott, when we talk about preparedness of the past, there wasn't a lot in place. And then when do you know about the history of Manhattan Beach CERT? I mean, I know George Butts was there right at the beginning. Can you talk a little bit about that? Or maybe Art, you can talk a little bit about the beginnings of Manhattan Beach CERT and how it's grown over the years.
Yeah, go ahead, Art. Art has more history than I do.
Yeah.
Okay.
The present day CERT organization was really the put together by George and Frankiella. Frankiella is now the president and is a retired battalion chief for the Manhattan Beach Fire Department. And that
Frank
was about
Ayala,
eight years ago. Frank put that together. And it's one of the reasons that the Manhattan Beach CERT is so tightly aligned to the Manhattan Beach Fire Department. We know the paramedics and firefighters very well, and we position ourselves to be a backup response for them in a time when they might be overwhelmed. If that big earthquake occurs, people are simply going to self-admit to the fire station. Someone has to be there.
Right.
We're training ourselves with an emphasis on medical response in addition to being able to assist with small fires, with search and rescue, with other factors that are going to be necessary in an emergency. So 8 years ago,
right,
this thing got together, and we built it to there's about 350 people that have been trained by in the city of Manhattan Beach. There's plenty more that I hope that we'll take advantage of that training. And we have a great training class scheduled for November 2nd, 3rd, 4th, and 5th that if you go to our website, it's a great website. It works very well. It's a complete menu of all of the trainings that we have available. And our organization has just progressed through the years and has had great support from the city council as well as the fire department.
So is that the main focus, Art, do you think, is in emergency, potentially medical response, emergency medical response will be the number one stress point that the CERT organization can engage with and assist the professionals with?
We're going to be a capability. Whether it's number one or not, it's going to depend on the circumstances. And that's the reason that when we do the training that I mentioned on November 2nd, 3rd, 4th, and 5th, you get trained in a very wide array of skills and responses. So if it's a search and rescue, if it's communication, if it's fighting small fires, and medical. Medical can be a big part, particularly initially. What CERT is going to be in a big disaster, Joe, is it's going to be a source of help. And the way if we train and we get interested volunteers to become part of CERT and go to our training, be members and get trained, they're going to be able to help each other and help a lot of people. And in the meantime,
right,
we utilize them in connection with our training.
Right. Right. Now, when we talk about training, one of the things that we certainly learned in our training when we were in training was there's an activation plan. There's a plan from the beginning to the end. And one of the things I have my little card in my wallet is assessing the situation. Can you go through those steps, Art? There's a specific way of looking at a disaster, or even if it's someone in distress. Can you go through that just briefly?
Certainly. Approaching an emergency or approaching a disaster, it doesn't matter if it's a person who's in medical distress, or it's a house that's possibly contains people that need rescuing, or it's a fire, or it's a car accident. Number one thing is always safety.
Right.
Your personal safety. You don't want to become part of that problem that you're addressing. And it's the safety of your partner. CERT emphasizes two-person response in all cases. Nobody goes out, does anything alone. We always go in partners. And finally, it's the safety of the people that might be involved and what steps you have to take to assess them. So that is the principal first step, is be sure you're part of the solution, not part of the problem. So beyond that, it then depends greatly on the extent of your training. It could be that really the next step for you is simply communicating to others that you need assistance. So much of intelligent response has to do with recognition. So as you recall your training at that class, maybe you don't recall the details, but you do recall, you know, the basic things that are dangerous, and, you know, electrical lines down and fires and gas lines being shut off and water out of control, you know, people screaming in pain, difficulty. You know enough to be safe, to call for help, and a few interventions that you may recall or you may not recall, and you don't do them. But that's the essence of emergency response.
Right. Well, we also had homework. We had we have the kit. So we had to learn how to turn off our water so that we could preserve the water. For those of us that still have actual water heaters, I have 40 gallons of fresh water that I'm going to preserve in the event of an earthquake, because we can use that water. Then there's how to turn off the gas. And you never, ever, as we went through, you never, ever turn off the gas if you don't smell gas. This is not just a knee-jerk reaction that you turn off the gas when there's an earthquake. But if you do smell gas and you can localize it to your property, learn how to turn off the gas. You can greatly minimize the potential for further disaster by being able to do that without having to call a professional, because guess what? They are going to be busy.
and the other thing you can do, if you don't smell gas, but you just want to check, you can go to your gas meter and look at the numbers.
Yes.
There's a dial with numbers on it. And if those numbers are spinning and you don't have anything on, there's something going on.
See how much you guys remember? That's wonderful that you remember that from the training that you had those years ago. And we have plenty of other things like that that we provide you with.
And let me tell you something. I actually had that happen to me once. We were home, and unfortunately, I think it was a weekend, my husband was here, and I was going to cook something, and I tried turning on the gas stove, and it wasn't lighting, and I immediately ran outside to look at the gas meter, and sure enough, that thing was spinning. We had a gas leak underneath our front yard.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
Wow.
So my husband shut it off. We called the gas company. Sure enough, there was a leak. They had to dig up my whole front yard.
Come to our training in November, everybody.
Yeah. There you go. You know, something else I wanted to mention, you know, with Map Your Neighborhood, as Scott was telling us, I don't know if it was Scott or Art that was telling us that, you know, you meet and you have a map of the street and you as you, we were just saying, you on each, for each house, you put an X where the gas meter is, the water turn off, the electric, you know, all of these things, so that if something happens, you know where your own stuff is. If you're not home, your neighbors know where the turnoffs are. They can help out. But they, but there's more to it than that. I remember when we had our meeting many years ago, we organized somebody on the block to take care of small children. We had a neighbor that has an enclosed front yard with a wall around it and a nice big area. And they said, okay, we need somebody that if for some reason children have to be taken care of, where can they go? And somebody volunteered for that. And then there were other people that volunteered to check on elderly or shut-ins, you know, or people that maybe weren't as mobile as others. So they assigned, they actually assigned different tasks to different people in addition to getting information like what one of you were mentioning earlier. I discovered that we have four people. We have four firemen that live on my street. We have three nurses. We have a doctor, you know, so it was, you know, we were able to identify people. Now we understand that during an emergency, they'll probably all be on call, but it's good to know that, you know, you have those people there, you know? So there are a lot more aspects to just mapping out your utilities, right? Right, guys?
Right. This is Scott again. So, Jackie and Joe, I'm impressed that you remembered so much from your training.
Well, we also had George for a few years reminding us.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
He does that. But I just wanted to emphasize, go back to, in the map your neighborhood, there's the map, there's the contact sheet, and there's the nine steps that you take as an individual in a neighborhood. You covered a couple of those. One has to do with the recognizing when there's a gas leak. If you smell it, hear it, or you see the meter spinning, that's one. And when to turn it off and when not to. And another of the steps is the water. So you have a water supply. So you already covered two of the nine steps. But I wanted to just let people on the call know that the things that apply to a neighborhood also apply to a business. So if there's a big earthquake, a big one that causes problems throughout the city, the same sort of steps apply. You'd want to know how to protect yourself, how to protect your family in place of your family. It might be customers or employees. So the same things occur. You'd want to know where the gas shutoff is for a neighboring business, for example, if they're not there. So the Map Your Neighborhood program can definitely be adapted to a business and with a lot of benefits. So if anybody's interested in applying this to businesses as well as the neighborhood, contact me at that email address, and we'd be happy to help out.
Okay. Okay, good. Now, I just want to go through these steps, and either one of you can chime in with some you know, a little bit of a background on them. This is from the website, mbcerta.org. If you click on resources and you can look at documents, there's the Manhattan Beach CERT activation plan, and it's laid out very, very logically. Right now at the beginning, you can see protect yourself, protect your family, check your neighborhood. Then when you're activated, if you're a member of CERT, when you're activated, report to the staging area with your CERT backpack. I have a CERT backpack. Deploy as directed by the area leader, and then you sign out on break or on completion. And that those steps will lead to a very orderly, quick deployment through the four areas, as I think Art mentioned. Northwest portion of the city, north side of Manhattan Beach, northeast portion of the city, southwest, and southeast. So there's four major areas of Manhattan Beach, and you can learn more about that by going to a class. There's a training class coming up in November, the 2nd, 3rd, 4th, and 5th, I believe.
You're right.
Is that right? Okay.
Yep.
So there's something coming up. You can get prepared for it. You can plan for it. Scott, we want to talk more about Map Your Neighborhood as a step-by-step. How do people get involved with Map Your Neighborhood if they want their block? What's the first thing to do if there isn't a Map Your Neighborhood happening on their block right now? What should they do?
First thing would be to contact me and let me know that there's an interest. And we've simplified it to make it easy, probably compared to what Jackie remembers from her block. It's as simple as a person who will organize the meeting, typically at their house. If they contact me, I'll talk to them and coordinate a date, and then I can be there, and I have other people like me that can lead the training. We coordinate with the fire department, and lately the battalion chief has been attending the meeting. So he'll kick it off and talk about the importance from his perspective. And then I'll work with whoever is organizing the meeting to – I'll give them the materials for how you do a map, how you do a contact sheet. So that's where a little bit of work comes in, collecting that information at the meeting, which typically lasts an hour, but we'll go an hour and a half if there are questions. Then what I'll do is just educate everybody on what Map Your Neighborhood is all about. After the battalion chief has talked about the importance of it, talk about the map and the contact sheet and the value of the program, and then I'll walk through the 9 steps that everybody takes. So it's pretty straightforward. There's an extra benefit of it that talking to many people who have done this, and I think as Jack was talking about, it brings the block together. People who have lived on the same block for maybe years will know somebody at the top of the block and they kind of recognize them, but you learn a little bit more. You have more contact with them. And tends to have people look out after each other a little bit more on a day-to-day basis. So
right.
The way to do it is contact me at that email address, and we'll go from there. We make it pretty easy.
Okay. Very good. Scott.
I was going to say, we're going to have a chance to practice this. Coming up is the great shakeout. You may have probably heard about it. On a nationwide basis, it's a Thursday in October. The city, Manhattan Beach, is going to actually have a drill, the shakeout drill, on October 21st, where blocks that have gone through the Map Your Neighborhood process will get a chance to practice it. So we'll say that there's a fake quake on October 21st, and then the block can go through the 9 steps. It's recognizing what to do, how to take care of themselves, how to check for gas and water, and put out signs that say if they're okay or not, and how they can help address local issues in their block. And the final step connects to CERT, and that's when they report their issues to the CERT station. CERT people will be out that Saturday practicing going to their station, including the emergency medical team. And the fire department and police participate too, so we practice communication. So it's a good way to practice what we learned in the neighborhood meeting.
Great. Now, when is the shakeout?
October 21st at 9 a.m.
October 21st. Jackie?
Yeah, every October 21st. You know, we can't stress enough the importance. You know, somebody mentioned Manhattan Beach only has 9 firemen on duty at any given time. All right, a city of 36,000 people. And we all saw, this whole thing, Map Your Neighborhood, Neighborhood Watch, the CERT organizations, it's all, we saw what happened in Texas with the flooding and the Cajun Navy, you know. This is all about preparing ahead of time, you know, learning what you can beforehand. So that when something happens, it's not just willy-nilly. It's not just running around with like a chicken with its head cut off. It's organized. You have a step-by-step plan that you go to and you say, okay, let me do this, let me do this, let me do this. And when we saw what happened in Texas, where literally neighbors saving neighbors, not just neighbors saving neighbors, but people coming from outside the area with their boats to save people they don't know. You know, that was on a grand scale. You know, this is that, but on a much more intimate level. It's your street.
Exactly right.
Good point, Jackie.
Yeah, and it happens. You know, this isn't pie in the sky stuff. It happens.
Right. Of course it does. It's happening all over
guys,
the country right
this
now.
Is art.
Yeah, it is. Yeah. It is.
Could I interject too, though, Jackie and Joe, for a minute, just to say that, you know, what you talked about and what you just verbalized, Jackie, is so true. CERT in Manhattan Beach is set up, though, that it's expandable. So we have people that are trained and capable of teaching, you know, what to do in all kinds of, particularly medical emergencies. And, you know, if someone faints, someone falls, someone has chest pain, someone is choking, do you know what to do? It's simple if you do. If you don't,
right.
You sit there and go, oh, my God, and then, you know, you wait 6, 8, 10 minutes until the fire department shows up and hope for the best. You can take action.
Yes.
We can train you in that, and we encourage people to approach CERT as a preparedness and response capability in the time of an earthquake or a big emergency. But there are lots of little emergencies that we can train you in how to respond to as well. So keep that in mind.
Absolutely, absolutely. I have to say that's, as Joe mentioned, we both did the CERT training through Manhattan Beach. You know, most of the cities in the South Bay have their own, but we were friends with George, and so we did our training through Manhattan. And through Manhattan, I was able to sign up with Redondo. I live in the city of Torrance. I tried to sign up with them, but at the time, they said, no, you have to go through our training to be on our list. But anyway, everybody has their own thing. But that the training was phenomenal. I learned so much, and we received, as Joe mentioned, a backpack with some very basic stuff in it, you know, a flashlight, a little wrench to turn off your gas meter, a hard hat, gloves, the rubber things, the different colors depending on the level of the injury,
the ribbons.
The ribbons,
yeah.
Right, for triage, you know. So we received this pack at the end of the class, and what they told us to do is go home, take this pack, add to it, right? And the go bag, the famous go bag. So I took that to heart. I came home, I looked at the stuff in there, I added my own thing, I added a bunch of stuff to my first aid kit. You know, because you can buy a basic first aid kit with bandages and, you know, things. But, you know, I put in things like, you know, Advil and Neosporin. And, you know, I added stuff to it in addition to what I would need, because in California, everywhere we go in our cars. Right. So I keep my go bag in my car so that if I'm up in Santa Monica and something happens, you know, at least I have the equipment I need to get home. I have a comfortable pair of sneakers. I have an extra jacket. You know, I have the ability to heat up water. You know, I have a water bottle, but I also have a little pot that I can heat water up in and sterilize it before I drink it. You know, so all this stuff went into my go bag. It's in my car. And last year I was driving along Valley in Hermosa, and I was at a stoplight, and there was a mom with a little girl on her scooter, and they went across the street, and the little girl came off the curb on her scooter and went face down. And I was right there. I threw the car in the park. I jumped out. I grabbed my first aid kit out of the back, and I was able to, you know, put a bandage on this kid's thing. You know, it's as simple as that. It's as simple as that. Because the mom certainly didn't have what she needed. You know, they were just out for a walk. So all this is the stuff. It's all about being prepared. They teach it to you in the CERT classes. Highly, highly recommend signing up for it if you haven't already.
Gold star for you, Jackie.
Yeah.
So We have a few minutes left, Scott. In a few minutes, in a minute or two, can you ask what is the reason, or can I ask you what is the reason that you think that most people don't get involved with Map Your Neighborhood? Why would you think that most people don't get involved? Because it's obviously not the majority yet.
Yeah, that's the challenge. I think people are very busy. There's a lot of people. A lot of people know that they know that an earthquake is something that's in our future that we don't know when. And I think that maybe people don't realistically understand how stretched the emergency services are going to be: the hospitals, the fire department, the police. If they really understood that, they'd realize how much they're going to be. They're going to need to be on their own for a while. So the challenge is getting people to say, go the next step. Say, I understand that there's going to be an issue, but the next step, and just to take the time to understand, so what can I do at a very basic level? And maybe they think it's too complicated, and it's not. The programs that Art talked about and I talked about are very straightforward, but it is a plan. But I think people are busy with their jobs, their kids' sports, the daily activities, and I think that's one of the issues. And it does take somebody with the personality and the skills to organize a block to make it happen. So that's the breakthrough point.
And a lot of people just stick their head in the sand. They think, if something happens, I'm just going to dial 911 and I'm going to get the help I need. Wrong.
Yeah, that's very true. The the 911 center handles calls from Manhattan, Redondo, Hermosa, Gardena, Hawthorne, a couple other communities. They're going to be swamped if their lines are up. So you're right, 911 is
right.
Not going to be there.
Right. I don't think that message, I mean, it's been repeated over and over again by politicians, by first responders, by leadership and first responders, the police chiefs, the fire chiefs, but it just isn't yet being communicated adequately, such that people will be prepared. One of the number one things you hear about Harvey, about Irma, about Maria, it's just that people weren't fully prepared. They weren't fully, and it's not because the professionals weren't saying they should get prepared. I mean, the governor of Florida could not have been more forthcoming. If you live in the Keys and you don't get prepared, you probably are going to die. He essentially said that.
He said, if you don't get out, he said, get out now, save your life, get out now. If you stay, you're going to die. He said
Yeah. There's nothing else that the professionals can do. It's just that people need to get, activated somehow. We have to figure that out. But, gentlemen, we're getting near the end. Scott, thank you so much for joining us today.
Oh, my pleasure. Thanks for having us.
Great, thank you. Great resources and great answers to our questions. And Art, thank you for joining us today.
My pleasure. Nice to be with you guys.
Now, you guys want to give out contact information for Manhattan Beach CERT one more time?
It's our website. It's mbcerta.org. There's a full story of all of the training we have available, and we want to see you in November for preparedness and response and basic CERT.
Excellent, excellent. And, of course, thank you, Jackie.
Always a pleasure, Joe.
That's our show, ladies and gentlemen. We hope you will decide to get involved. We hope you will be one of the solutions, not part of the problem. Thank you. Thank you so much, everyone. Bye-bye.